Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
On today's Believe in Chicago Sports podcast, the Chicago Bears start training camp, the White Sox fail to gain ground in the standings, and the Cubs prep for the departure of more fan favorites. We'll discuss it on episode 78 now.
Welcome in to the Believe in Chicago Sports podcast, your home for the best Chicago sports talk. I'm Joey Gelman. You can follow me on Twitter at Joey Gelman, the man on the other side of the Zoom today. Not Skype, but Zoom. Again, none of these people sponsor us, but we want to make sure you guys know because it's very important. Because Dan's Skype is broken, we don't know why. But he is Dan Collins, at Tweet Dan Collins on Twitter. The show Believe in Chicago Sports, also on Twitter, at Believe in Chicago. Part of the Believe Podcast Network, your number one podcast network for professionals. They're also on Twitter, at Believe Network. Well, if you can believe it or not, we are just a few days away from August, and that means that Bears training camp has officially opened. Sadly, no trips to Bourbonnais this time around, but you can get out to Lake Forest and hang out with all your friends over there. But it's kind of crazy, right? I know we're going to talk Cubs and Sox and everything else, but that calendar really shifts right now. All eyes are on the Bears, even if they're not going to probably be that great. There's still excitement in the air and news and notes to talk about, whether it's Roquan Smith and his contract or how Robert Quinn is still there or the new offensive lineman additions of Reef and Schofield, and just kind of figuring out how this is all going to work and shake out in year one of this regime and year two with Justin Fields and the Bears. Oh, and of course, the Soldier Field mock-up drawings that will never be completed in reality. That was fun too last week. But yeah, it's a fun time. We're all eyes on football for a little bit right now, and hope is eternal because nothing's been played yet. And so it's fun, I guess. Dan, I know it's early in this, but what were kind of your takeaways from the start of camp, and what were you wanting to look for, looking towards, and does it mean anything?
Oh, hell yeah, it does. And I mean, I know we're very early on here, just like you said, Joey, but what the hell is the offensive line going to be? And more importantly, where my focus is all on now is Tevin Jenkins. Now, if you want to get like a month down the road or a few weeks down the road, then we're going to be looking into Justin Fields and the Getsy play calling and everything as we go from there. The scheme, as I should say. But you need it starts with Fields, right? We need to protect them. And you have Tevin Jenkins, who didn't see a whole lot of the field last year, part of that due to injury. And now this is day two as we're recording it. He's missing camp, and we haven't necessarily found out why. Is it injury? Is it because the Bears just are not in his favor? What's going on? The thing with me is, obviously, with the signing, like you said, I'm going to start out here with Reef. Is okay? Like, is that your left tackle then? Like, is that what you're trying to cement in there? Like, I feel like at the very least, you could have had Tevin Jenkins like kind of fill in the mix here and there, or at least try to give him the chance to prove himself. Which we're still very early on. Maybe by the time you know it, come tomorrow or you know whatever, we have Tevin Jenkins sighting. He's practicing, and we'll go from there. But that's where all my focus is now to start, because that's, to me, the biggest story early on, because what the hell is this offensive line? And did we really get much better? Last I recall, Joey, Joe Burrow got sacked or hit a whole crap load of times last year. Not saying that's all, you know, Riley Reiff's fault. There's, you know, there's five men on the line there. But at the very, very least, like, we don't have a whole lot of like, oh, these guys are for sure cemented in here, right? We don't even know who's technically playing center now. We don't, like, there's not too much established on that line. Sure, you know, White here, Patrick, which hand injury was it? Is that what it was? Either way, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. But so hopefully he doesn't miss too much of a significant amount of time, but you don't even know which of those two will be playing the center position, or if it's going to be Mustafa. My point here is we already know we're going to be seeing a little bit of shuffling with the offensive line early on, right? There'll be a little bit of shuffling going on. We'll see who fits where, but why Jenkins wouldn't be part of that shuffling early on, and you'd rather go with like a 30-plus vet who's not necessarily all that great. It was a very late addition, very late signing here by the Chicago Bears, a couple late signings on the offensive line, like literally to open camp. How you don't have somebody who was, sure, a pick from the last regime, but was second-round pick, Tevin Jenkins, correct, if I'm remembering correctly? Like how
and you mocked as a first, yeah.
Exactly. So how you don't have a second rounder, like once again, who knows what it is? Can it be injuries once again playing a factor? Can it be they just don't really see the same amount of talent there? This new regime that is with Poles and Flus, Mr. Eberflus, probably more towards Poles. I remember like even when he came in, you know, he kind of threw a little bit of shade at what we had the offensive line. Either way, how you don't give somebody like that a look here. And once again, super early on, I'll mention that again, but that is at least, like you said, Joey, like where my focus is. It's there right now because, you know, I can hear all these great things about Fields early on and this and that. And even once we get a couple preseason games in, like I'm not going to hold too much water into that. Let's get to September. We'll see what we have for the year. I mean, it's early on. And I'm also like, even when the season starts, even when we're a few weeks into the season, I'm not looking for much past like a 6-7 win season, maybe less, maybe more. Like we'll put the win total at 7. Might be a couple wins more, might be a couple wins less. So I'm not really expecting much, right? I'm expecting a below 500 football team here. So it's all about, okay, how are they going to progress to the next step? Well, you kind of need to protect Fields a little better than at least last year to see how he could progress, because he's the main ingredient here. At least the Bears fans would like him to be. Like, last thing you want is like a top five pick and now you're drafting a new quarterback, unless, you know, that's the right move. But way, way ahead of the game here. But yeah, Joey, where the hell is Tevin Jenkins and what is going on?
Well, and no matter if he's injured or if he's kind of just, frankly, out of the rotation.
Say something.
Well, that, say something. But also, I think it's nice to finally see at least the powers in charge are realizing they need more help in that position. I mean, that's something we've been complaining about for years with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, of just they have this grandiose idea of what this offense is supposed to look like, but never had the line infrastructure to run it. And when you have a 7-step drop with the line you had last year, you're going to get killed, as we saw Cleveland to start and everywhere else. So, you know, I think at least in this case, you're bringing in two veterans that can at least give you some kind of average stability, and you're not relying on unproven rookies or unproven draft picks that you can't afford because you have to protect your quarterback. And I think that's what was an interesting point. I was listening to The Score today, and or maybe it was yesterday, and they were talking about, you know, they're in this difficult situation because you're still in the prime window of Justin Fields' contract, but you're rebuilding. Whereas in year two or three, you're supposed to be more well down the line because the regime would have approached year one differently with him. And so it's difficult of like, because they're stripping this thing to the studs, but they also need to protect their best asset if he does, in fact, turn into that franchise quarterback. And so you're seeing this weird jockeying of getting this all in place on a team that's, you know, not going to probably sniff the division, but they have to at least be competitive because they got to prove to Fields, or they prove to the fans themselves that Fields is the answer and that it's worth building around. So we'll have to see.
Going from there, like you said, Joey, this is in year two, you would have liked it to be, oh man, I almost used like a Matt Nagy, like Mitch or what was it? Mitch 2.0 offense, or what was it? It was like Nagy 2.0 offense. Yeah. Instead, like we're kind of like rewinding it and starting it from phase one, which is totally fine. Cool with me. But yeah, I mean, still what you want to see is, like you said, the Chicago Bears at the offensive line positions haven't really had too much figured out in quite a while. I mean, you can literally go all the way back to Jay Cutler, right? When they bring in what they thought was going to be a flame-throwing quarterback and still arguably the best quarterback in Bears history. Oof. But you had the defense, you had the quarterback, and you didn't really have the line there, right? Or the weapons, right? It's like, oh, crap, like we don't have a line. Oh, crap, we don't have weapons. Let's try to
Devin Aroma-Shadu. Go.
Exactly. Okay. But my point is here, And it's a fair point. Like, sure, you add depth, but Joey, at least to me, that's about all they did. Like, you add a little bit of depth, but how much more talent did you really add? Right?
Oh,
Like,
yeah, there's not
like
much.
how much? Let me ask you this. Like, right? Like, how much more talented are the Bears today at offensive line than they were last season?
They have
Very,
more
very.
warm bodies.
Very like they took a little small incremental step, and hey, for all I know, like there will be some kind of like a Riley Reiff, some kind of second gusto in his career or something here very late on. Like, who knows? Like, maybe he'll help be the answer, and like he'll mesh really well with a Lucas Patrick and a Cody White here, you name it. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know how like incrementally better we got on an offensive line, but. You know, there's that. They're seeing the second year connection between Darnell Mooney and Justin Fields. Obviously, that's going to be a pretty big storyline, especially with Allen Robinson no longer being in the picture. Even though plenty of times last year we said, "Where the hell is Allen Robinson?" But yeah, I mean that's going to be an interesting story to see as well. That's obviously Justin Fields' go-to guy, his WR1. There's no question there. So to see the progression there is going to be pretty interesting. And you know, let's you talked about listening to the score today. It's like I also want to see how this new regime does, like with local media, right? Like how are they going to talk to the media? And it's just it's just training camp and whatnot. But it's going to be interesting to see them. Not projecting very much of a good year here. So there's going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of interviews, right? Where po or post game, post game interviews, I should say, where they're not going to be the best things to talk about. Right? You might be talking about quite a few L's this year. Hopefully not incredibly ugly. But that's going to be an interesting storyline to see as well. When it comes to things like Roquan Smith or even Robert Quinn, who we're a little surprised he's still here. Hey, stick around for at least another year. Why not? But the Roquan Smith thing doesn't, bother me. It doesn't faze me too much. He's going to be on the Bears week one, right? Like we would hope. There's no way Ryan Poles in his first year as general manager is not going to have number 58 out on the field to start the season. There's just no way. Like something is a deal's going to get done. If not, boy, that's going to be a pretty big storyline. Like Ryan Poles in his first year as general manager of the Chicago Bears, and you can't even get their best defensive weapon out there. So, is it a little different that he's Roquan's agentless, correct? The Roquan Smith is agentless, but
Correct.
it's a hold in. He's still there, so he knows something's going to get done probably sooner rather than later. Would be great, especially with an off defensive minded coach. I almost misspoke there, but with a defensive minded coach, you would like him to get somebody like a Roquan Smith who's going to be a key contributor and part of this defense in there and start getting that going. But yeah, I mean that's obviously something we look at as well, even though I have full faith that's going to be the case. It's hilarious. Like I think the day after or the yeah or like the very same day that Roquan Smith it was out there that he's not going to be participating until contract negotiations, he gets something signed, he gets an extension signed. It was like the what was it? I didn't care for them too much, but the new alternative uniforms, right? Like the all orange, like Roquan Smith is all over the Bears social media modeling those, and then it's like, oh, by the way, like I'm not going to participate until I get it, I get an extension, I get a new contract. Okay, well, it's kind of funny. It's like, wait a minute, after this little photo shoot, why didn't you guys go into an office and like at least talk some things out? Which maybe they did, because apparently, they did present him with a couple offers. Is it that? That just weren't even close to what they were laughable in a sense. So that's me. We'll get done too. But Joey, look at this. So much Bears talk to open the show. Are we ready? Are we ready for some football?
For agony? No. But it'll be fun. My question from training camp is, why are they still selling old Bear jerseys? Do you see that?
I did not know. Please enlighten me.
So it'd be one thing if you're like, okay, I'm Street Vendor X or Clark Street Sports or whatever that's selling like Trubisky and Mac jerseys.
Okay.
At the Bears training camp, which is at Halas Hall, they're selling discounted Trubisky jerseys and
Oh,
discounted Mac jerseys
no.
and discounted Akiem Hicks jerseys and Cohen. And I'm like,
Gotta get rid of the inventory.
But
Gotta
how,
get rid of the
but why would you
inventory.
even bring, like, why would you even try to sell that? Like, how, I know that the Bears aren't cheap anymore, but like that comes off as a little cheap. I would just talk, like, why would you ever
Donate it.
entertain the
Donate
idea?
it.
Right. Why would you say,
Donate
we're
it.
gonna, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna sell a Mitch Trubisky jersey half off and make some profit. No. Like, why would you ever do that? And who the hell is gonna buy it? It made no sense to me that the official Bears team was doing that. I get it if you and I did it.
Yeah, I don't know who put the green light on that, but that is very, very strange. Like promoting players who aren't there no more. Like you have Justin Fields there now and you're still selling Mitchell Trubisky jerseys. Like what yep. the hell are
yeah,
you
they,
doing?
They said the three current players that are being sold, because there's only three, because that's how depleted they are.
Right.
Is Fields, Cole Kmet, and Roquan Smith.
All the three current that are
the three current that are on sale. Everything else is old or cut.
Don't tell me there's more old, like cut older cut jerseys than current.
There has to be.
Because that I could see, but like, how many like active players in the league, but like also aren't with the Bears anymore? So like Cohen, not with the team yet, is, but either way, like very, very recent Bears, as of like a season or two ago, Trubisky, Cohen, and who else did you name?
Khalil Mack.
Wow. So, I mean, that's at least three against three right there. And if there's somebody else, I mean, the Urlachers and like if it's a Briggs or a Tillman, like stuff like that's fine. Like, you know, those are, you know, Chicago alumni at this point already. They're Bear
right.
alumni. Like,
but this keeps. This keeps happening, though. We go through these stretches. Like when you went from Tressman, I'm not trying to rewrite history. But when you went from Tressman to Fox to Nagy, before you got Trubisky, which I know didn't work out, but that was like the new jersey to buy. That whole stretch, there was nobody to buy a jersey for because they were all not great. It was the end of Forte. It was the end of Cutler. So those were being phased out. And it was like, okay, who on this current roster is worth my money? And then you got through this. last four years or five years, whatever it was. And they're at that same place again. There's not this continuality of players that are here long enough or good enough that are worth purchasing a jersey for. I know like jerseys are like, who cares, Joey? What are you talking about? But it speaks to the louder point of who was actually on this roster and why the Bears are clearly still really behind the pack. It's like the same thing with the Cubs, right? Like, there's no more Rizzo, Brian Baez, all that. So what's the next Cubs jersey you're going to buy in the next 10 years? I don't know.
It's funny because I saw a Trubisky jersey like at a Dick's Sporting Goods like the other month, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, get this off the show. And that was, like you said, a Dick's Sporting Goods. Like, that's not the Chicago Bears themselves selling it. If I were to give them the benefit of the doubt, the only thing I could think about, which would be an okay reason, is that let's just say the numbers are, hey, during training camp we always sell, like, although I ran a number out there, we always sell 2,000 jerseys. As of now, in our inventory of active players, we only have 1,000, but if we want to sell more and we want to get these to the fans, we want the fans to be able to purchase some merchandise, we're gonna have to roll out.
Purchase our failures, please.
I don't think that's the reason. Like, this is, you know, it's just a random thought I had, but like, that's the only benefit of the doubt I could see. Is if you always sell X amount of inventory, and for whatever reason, like between a pandemic and everything else with shipping delays and, you know, not being able to just like order or get more like Fields jerseys made, or, you know, a Roquan or something, you know, a Mooney, something like that. Like, you have to go into the closet and, like, you know, dust off the box of, you know, Cohen jerseys and put those out there on the rack. Only reason I could see as to why those would still be on the rack available at training camp, but who knows? Maybe we could demand an answer. Really quick before I transition, do you know if any of like reporters or anything like that asked that question by chance? Like, I'm sure there's, you know, better things to ask over there, but I mean, it is interesting, right? It would be interesting to know that maybe not even ask.
I saw people post it. I don't know if anyone asked them point blank.
Well, I mean, like,
you couldn't really ask. Eberflus, you have to ask George.
Well, that's what I was gonna say, right? Yeah, you're not gonna ask like the coaching staff or polls, or like, you're gonna ask, you know, you're gonna seek out, right? You're gonna do something, you know, whoever it would be who makes that decision, that's the person you would seek, and just, you know, maybe there's a story there. Who knows? Like, there could be. My journalistic, you know, antennas are sparking up there. But speaking of jerseys and players of the past, Joey, per Bleacher Nation, 1 year ago today, a Sir Anthony Rizzo was traded away from the Chicago Cubs, potentially more Cubs to depart, more fan favorites. Wilson Contreras having that emotional day. Was it hugging Ian Happ in the dugout during what could very well be his last home game as a Chicago Cub? Here, let me Google it now, because you know how the trade deadline week works. Who knows? Potentially he's traded already. But no, as of now, still a Cub, Wilson Contreras is. I think he had some funky things going on with his social media today, deleting some stuff, deleting accounts, and then he's back or whatever. But once again, here we are, Joey, a year later, and you're bracing for a couple notable names. Just at this point, here's my thing, and I don't know if you know the Cubs have come out and said more. I know like they were in this mix of, well, it's not a full rebuild, but wink, wink, it's kind of a rebuild. If Contreras goes, which seems like a foregone conclusion already, and you know you throw in a Happ and other names out there, like at that point, that is a full blown rebuild. Like at that point, like it just is what it is, no matter what you call it. So at that point, will they finally commit to what they're doing? Because once again, Contreras exit, a Happ exit, if both those happen, even if it's just a Contreras exit, that's a rebuild. At that point, yep. You are rebuilding. You don't have anything left over.
Yeah, they are committing. They're not admitting. That's what's happening.
Yeah,
last time they were transparent and told you, we're going to suck for 3 years and 4 years, and then this will turn around. Now they're trying to not tell you that because they don't want you to not stop coming, to not come. And here we are.
Are they really worried about attendance that much?
No, they don't. It
has been on a slight decline. Hey, biblical losses, my friend. Let me remind you, okay? Biblical losses. But I don't know. Yeah, we've talked about this a few times, but back in 2016, I would have never thought, you know, you fast forward 5-6 seasons down the road that the Cubs would be like in this situation, right? I mean,
right.
last year, that would have been what? Only 5 years removed from the World Series. And yeah, the way it's taken the turn this year too, I would have never. I literally thought the Cubs are just going to be the Yankees of the National League, where they're just always.
Well, that's what
kind of what the Dodgers are. They're supposed to be what the Dodgers are,
right? That's what's the most infuriating, because right now you look at it, you go, like, I understand what they're doing, like, because it's just they're blowing everything up, and I don't want to see Contreras go. And when you really think about it, like, he's been in the organization since he's 17, but he's only been in the big league club since they won the World Series.
Yeah. Still a long time with the organization, though, and a pretty key moment in history, like you said.
Oh, yeah. But it's, you know, when I get the idea of like, all right, what are you going to sign him to? Because he's on the wrong side of his age and a position that's difficult. I know the DH can help you. But with that, and with Happ, I mean, he's at a kill every year again. And that's someone I think you could build around. Like, that's my issue with it, right, is it's almost like the Blackhawks, right? Okay, you're stripping it down, but how do you choose then not to build around Alex DeBrincat? You're the Cubs. Why isn't Ian Happ a part of that rebuild?
And maybe he will be. Maybe he will be.
Right.
But
it's just, it should have, the most frustrating is it should never gotten to this point. They pretty much promised you when they came here, this is going to be awful. But when we get through this, you're never going to experience this again, right? And they're going to be that dynasty. Whether they win one World Series or 10, they're going to compete, and they're never going to have to tear the whole thing down. And the fact that we're sitting here this short a time later and all these guys are gone and never got a second deal and are going to finish their careers somewhere else, and the Cubs are starting this whole thing from scratch again, that's crazy, because there's no guarantees now. You don't know if they're ever going to be good again or when.
So that's the question. If they were to be asked that, especially like come season's end, and you know, you look at all the transactions that they've made the past couple seasons, all the notable names that have left, and how you said like they were never supposed to be here again. They were supposed to be the Dodgers, you know, they were supposed to be like the Dodgers, the Yankees, where they're just competing every single damn year, and like not only just competing, like, hey, we might make the playoffs, like, no, being like one of the main front runners year in and year out. So once again, the question would be, and they could lie about it, you know, obviously you might not get the full honest truth, but hey, this is what you promised. We obviously it's not what happened, because just 5+ years in, we had to blow it all up again, and here we are. But did we learn from those mistakes? And now that we have, right, now that we're taking like this whole big rebuild process, whether you're admitting it, like you said, or like you're actually doing it, you know, here's where we're at. As we start building this thing, are we going to make it to where once it's built again, it's all just keep continuing to patch things up from there where we do, and we're going to be at the top, you know, the whole time. We've already built it back up to the mountaintop. If we go down a block or two, we're just going to replace it with another block or two, and we are going to try to stay at this level here, which is very, very high and always in competition. Are we going to get there now? Right? Like after this next like couple years of trying to build a contender and then we're never going back? Because think about this, Joey. What if 4 or 5 years from now, well, give it four, the Cubs do have like a pretty decent contender. They have maybe like a three and a half year window. And then after that, they do the same song and dance. Then can you imagine that? Where it's like, hey, this is two rebuilds in a row after the World Series that like now, and once again, like we're going way up ahead here, but think about that. Like, what if that were to be the case? And that's years and years down the road, but you have to think about that now because now they're in the process and you don't ever want to go back to this actual moment. These next couple years as a Cub fan, you don't want to relive these type of years for a very, very long time because the Cubs are pretty much going to suck and they're going to be building it back up from the bottom again.
But we said that when they won the World Series right before it. That's the problem. They can't keep doing it. And you're going to be in trouble here of like, you know, nobody cares.
No one cares about them right now.
That's the problem. Like, you couldn't pay me to try on a game. What's the point? And it doesn't make sense because you're bringing Suzuki. I almost said Ohtani. You're bringing Suzuki. I like Ohtani. You're bringing Suzuki. You're bringing Stroman, but then you trade everything else. So why are they here? Why spend that money on them and not on extensions for Hap and Contreras? So it's just weird. And go ahead.
No, I was saying maybe it's silly of me to give them even the littlest bit of the benefit of the doubt. I guess that's what I'm doing on the show today, just throwing away benefits of the doubt. So why you would sell a Trubisky jersey? Why you would have to tear it all down again? But all right, you promised it. We're only 5+ years in. Once again, we already have to do it again. But learn from this. This is what you promised. You didn't meet the promise. Now, once we build it back up again, make sure you do keep that promise, right? Which is, we're not going to go all the way back down there again. Learn from this mistake right now. Like, this is a really key moment. If you want to be a big, you know, meathead fan about it, this is a huge moment in Cubs history because once again, where the Cubs are at currently and where they will be for the next few seasons, you're never supposed to be here again because that's what was already promised a few years ago when new ownership came to town. Right when Ricketts said, right. Right, I'm the man,
and the Marquee Network will give you all the money to spend on the team.
What's wrong with the Marquee Network?
Like, that's the thing, right? They're dishing out a C-rated product right now, and it's like, you know, it's when you think back. Okay, Theo Epstein came here in 2011, I think.
Right.
So you had 11, 12, 13, 14, horrible. Worst in baseball. 15, 16, 17, World Series, 3 straight NLCSs. 18, I think it was a play-in game, right? And they lost, or they were a game out. And then you would have 19, 20, 21, and 22. No playoffs. So, you know, since this whole thing started, you had 3.5 playoff runs in over a decade. That's not what you were promised.
Nope.
And if we're already this far, not that it's so far, but if we're already over 5 years removed from the World Series win, and they're still tearing this thing down, when's the next time they're going to be competitive? It's not like football or basketball where these draft picks come in and they play right away. Baseball, you're getting high school kids. I mean, it doesn't work like that. So it's just it's a longer haul that no fan deserves, and frankly the city gets apathetic towards it. Like the Cubs are,
we don't deserve this.
Well, they don't. I mean, like the Cubs are irrelevant, yeah, right now in talk. The Blackhawks are irrelevant. Like, think about that. Like, they captured the city for 10 to 12 years. They built youth hockey in the city that didn't exist. Now it's like they're not even in the city. It's like you want to go find where the Wolves are playing, who are your Calder Cup champions, right? It's like,
hey, there we go.
It's these pendulums. You're going to lose people, especially in this day and age. Not to sound like old man on rocking chair, but like, people have alternatives now. No one's going to sit around and watch this stuff when they can watch anything else at a moment's notice. So it's just, you know, football's weirdly
Netflix
the only
sport. Has some good stuff out right. there. Hulu's got some.
And football's still weirdly the only sport where, like, the Bears could be 0-17 and I'm still going to watch. But for everything else, there's MasterCard. For everything else, you don't have that. So
it's just, advertisement. Look at you.
Yeah, I got Zoom today and MasterCard. So maybe they'll give us some help.
Zoom,
but yeah,
Zoom.
Which is it's frustrating.
Yeah, no, I mean football. Football owns everything. I mean, in terms of, like I said, football is the only sport. I don't know if we've talked about it recently on one of our shows, Joey. But I mean, I could watch two and 10 teams going at it on a Thursday night. And like, it doesn't even have to be the Bears. Like, I can watch two crap football teams playing on a Thursday night and I'm still all in. That's where my appointment television is for whatever ridiculous reason. But going into the better part of town when it comes to baseball this year, maybe not so much a 500 ball club in the Chicago White Sox, Rocky series in Colorado.
Nice.
They just can't pull out ahead a 500. I think the last time was like back in April, since they were a couple games over 500. You get to 500, you get over, boom, right, you're right back to 500. You can't get more past a couple games. More so to that, the scariest part so far with the Chicago White Sox, where they're at 49-49, was just under 98, if I'm doing the math, just under 100 games into the season, is now, hopefully, which looks like it will be the case, you're going to get a southpaw and you're going to get a righty addition in the bullpen. That's what at least Sox fans are at the very least hoping for, is that you get some bullpen additions here as they make this postseason run, which at this point looks like they're, hopefully, if they do win the division, they might do so by not even winning 85 games. You imagine that? They're going to be
Braves.
You can finish two or three games, exactly. You can finish two or three games potentially over 500 and win your division, which is crazy to think about, because if they were in either the East or the West, if they were in the East, they'd be the very last place. Like, well, Boston's like 50-50 right now, and they're in last place in the East. And if they were in the West, they'd be like in third place or something as well. They'd be way out of the playoff picture for the most part, because wild card doesn't seem necessary or like it's going to be possible for them. So their wild card chances would be, their playoff chances would be, whew, if there was some kind of like division shakeup before the year. And, you know, but either way, the reality is they play in the Central. They could potentially still win the division. But the scary part of that is, all right, maybe we get some bullpen additions, and like if and when that happens, we'll see who those arms are. But can't base run well, right? Can't do the fundamentals well. You know, defense is shaky. When it comes to hitting, it's on or off. And just right as things maybe kind of start to click, you know, there's a big name that goes down. There's injury here. Like, can't even get a full lineup in there. Starting rotation, especially the biggest thing for me right now has been Giolito, and that's somebody you needed to be at the very, very, very least the third, hopefully second best pitcher in your rotation. As of now, Cueto's like outshining him in terms of just pure numbers and, you know, value right now at this part of the year, which is absurd. Because like I said, that was supposed to be somebody who's, you know, right in line with Cease and Kopech at the very top of the rotation, and just an arm you could totally rely on. And that's one of the horses you're running out there in a playoff series. So you already have questions now in the starting rotation. The bullpen's shaky at best to put it right now. You need additions. And like I said, if and when those additions get there, we'll see where we go. But there's no part, whether it be offensively, defensively, fundamentals or running the bases, starting rotation, bullpen, where you feel absolutely confident with this White Sox team. And that's probably why they're 49-49. So how that makes you feel as a Chicago White Sox fan, not incredibly great. But as I mentioned a few episodes ago, we'll take it one game at a time and see where we go. But this doesn't feel, as of now, like a championship team. And they have all of, we'll just call it 2 months, to get that together and to go on this big run, or to get like on a little bit of a hot streak and take that into the postseason, hopefully, and get some really good starting pitching and timely hitting and bullpen work at that point. I don't know, but they literally have 2 months to straighten it out. And I don't necessarily see it happening unless trade deadline comes.
Can you trade the manager?
They won't, even if you technically can, but they won't. I mean, that's even just like, that is what it is, right? That's literally like where you're at with DLR is here to stay. And apparently, obviously, as long as he wants to come back, we'll even be coming back. They've already said that, like, Can the Sox just lose every other game of the season and he's still going to come back? Because they've already put that out there. But, you know, that's where you're at. And that's where, you know, we're almost 100 games in. And that's literally the only thing I can think about now is there's not one part of this team. And if once again we get Nate, we'll see who they add. But even after that, I'm gonna like really look at that roster. I'm like, all right, is there any part of the team here where we feel we're ready to go, especially against the bigger names out there in baseball? I don't know.
Well, and we've said this every week. Like, that's what's frustrating. Oh, like, don't worry. Like, there's still time, or all they need to do is do X, Y, and Z and get on the streak. But, you know, we're past the All-Star break now. And, you know, it's not crunch time, but it's basically August. So you got to figure this stuff out and turn it around. But I don't mean to sound so general with it, because I don't know if they can. And it's infuriating. I'm not even a Sox fan, but it's just, this is a team that had those expectations for World Series or bust, and they're significantly not even in that talk. And like you said, if this team's in another division, we're having an entirely different discussion. This is a failure. And I still think it could be, but because they're still in the race in their division, maybe we have a glass half full mentality of it. But if they're anywhere else, they're done. The season's over. They're sellers of the deadline.
Oh, that's exactly my point. Yeah, 100%.
And you look at this, go, holy shit, we wasted this, right? So, yeah. You know, anything can happen, right? The Braves did it last year, but it's just
they also got a whole new outfield at the trade deadline.
That's true.
Though. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Right. But their division is hiding them well in a place to where, you know, in the grand scheme of things, if they were anywhere else, they would be eviscerated nationally on how much of a failure and a missed opportunity this season is. I know they are here, but there's still some sense of, oh, it's attainable. Just like when the Bears are bad, right? Besides the Packers, everyone else sucks. There's always a chance in the North. It's the same. I like being hopeful, but it just,
no,
we're setting ourselves up for more disappointment.
You articulated it way better than I can. So I as the Sox fan, I appreciate that, Joey, because that's kind of where I was getting at here. Is the reality of the situation is they still do have a shot. They could very well even still win this division. But like you said, they would be, what would the headlines be if they were just in a different division? Like, what if before the season started or something, Manfred goes, oh, we're shaking up the divisions, the Sox are playing in the East because, you know, there's an expansion team coming or something, which obviously that didn't happen, but we'd be talking about a completely, completely different scenario here for the same team, right? Like I said, they're being saved by their division. If they were in any other division in the AL, pick one of the two, the East or the West, it'd be a completely different storyline. So that's why where I'm at now, it's like, it's all just hope now. And I think we realize that. I think part of that is coming to the realization, because if you even look into what the strategy is or how people are feeling, you're hearing a lot of things of, oh, well, you know, it's a lot more of a weaker schedule. Like they got, you know, they have these weaker teams coming up, and, you know, they face a lot of the big boppers, you know, before the All-Star break or in the first half of the season. Now come the tail end, the last few months, like the schedule does get a little light. It's like, we're almost now, it's like hopeful now. Right, it's like, oh, lesser teams, and we're facing the division, and we have the, you know, the Guardians, Tigers, and Twins like to end the year. Don't forget that, and you know, maybe we'll gain some ground there, and that could be our chance, that could be our opportunity, because if you sneak in, who knows what happens? And I think that's the whole big picture of where we're at now, and I don't see it changing drastically come season's end. You know, if they make the postseason with 84 wins, 87 wins, 83 wins, call it what you want, but that to me, I don't think is going to change. Is we're now at this point, and we've probably been at this point where it's all, if one from, oh, wow, this team could run away with this division, and which they should be, could be running away with this division, and oh boy, just we why even watch games? Let's just sit around and wait for the playoffs to start, because
right,
this team's going to be rolling. To now, we're hoping they could sneak in, and then hoping the starting rotation does what we've wanted it to do this whole year, but hasn't, which is just give you game after game after game of straight smoke and just mowing down hitters and just, you know, out there just straight up being filthy with Cease and Kopech and Giolito. And now we're hoping Cueto might start game two or three at this point. But now all of a sudden we're being hopeful that we could crawl into the playoffs and then all of a sudden stand up and be this team we were supposed to be when April started.
Yep.
And like that to me is not that that's just hope. Hope's not a plan. And we on paper they still like on paper they still do have a good enough team, yes, I guess, but their record says otherwise, and what the plan is now is you just hopefully squeak in and we'll see what happens, but you're just not that team, obviously, this year. Your record says it.
Well, and to make you feel even worse, because I'm looking at the standings now.
Oh, thanks.
Your White Sox have 49 wins, right?
49 losses.
The Cubs have 40 wins.
That's bad.
All right? So think about that for a second. And I know the Cubs are, what, 10 games out? Like, it doesn't matter. But just
right.
From sheer wins and losses perspective, 9 wins separate the Cubs, who are fully tear down, rebuild, what's the future, to with the White Sox, who are supposed to be contending for a World Series.
For a World Series.
That says everything to me about how much of a disappointment this year is, and how
I
even thought of it in that lens, because I honestly haven't looked at the Cubs standings because it doesn't matter, right? You could have told me they had 20 wins, I would have believed you. But when there's a 9 game difference between the team that's losing on purpose and the team that's competing for a pennant,
yeah,
that's a problem. That's a big problem.
Like I said, at this point you'd be satisfied if they somehow could finish 4 games above 500 at 85 and whatever that, you know, an 85 win team. I guess that'd be more either way. 162 minus 85. And yeah, there's your losses, but you'd be lucky if you're like an 85 win team and you know, you make into, you know, you get into the playoffs, which they might even be, like I said, like 83, 84. So you know, win team. Like it's just absurd. Like they're not, you know, you're not going out there winning 90 games this year and you're not running away with this division like you should have. Which to me is just, it's just ridiculous, but that's where we're at. Boy, always ending on a good note, don't we, Joey? Always, always, always. But always. Oh, actually, I mean, not really great of a note now, but per the internet, the White Sox down now in the top of the third inning to the Oakland Athletics 3-1. So hopefully they could come back in that, because you don't want to keep going back and forth with winning and losing and still being at 500. I mean, can you imagine if this team finishes at 500? Oh my gosh, I don't even want to get into that. Will 500
win? Yeah, don't hurt yourself thinking about that.
I don't think it can, no. We'll say that for the next podcast. So until next time, he's Joey Gelman. I'm Dan Collins. You can find him on Twitter at Joey Gelman. Myself at Tweet Dan Collins. It's been a fine, lovely show. We'll catch you folks next time.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.